Hey, yo, listen, it's going down just like this.
Spread the word and let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
Out of here. Tell your neighbor, say, I survived it.
I'm not afraid to die.
everybody. Say, oh, 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 oh.
I'm a survivor for sure. Jason Nelson starting us off in our moment of inspiration. But welcome to Praise in the City on Praise 103.9 FM. And we are giving you an interesting and awesome conversation this morning about the political wrap-up, everything that has been going on in the news. We're going to discuss it. And if you've had questions, because you know how it is, you watch the news or listen to the news if you're listening on the radio. You watch or listen to the news and you hear these buzzwords, but maybe you don't get all of the details on what's really, really going on. Maybe you just don't have time or have anybody to ask that knows the real deal. This is going to be your opportunity. We're going to be talking about those buzzwords that we've heard on the news recently with our dear friend and political expert, Miss Denise Clay, joining us via the telephone. Denise, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Tiffany. How are you? And how is good morning to your audience?
Yay! I am breathing on schedule, honey. You know, and that is my catchphrase, and I love it because it means that everything is all right. Can't say that much for the political scene. President Obama is going through a lot. He's having a pretty tough time. There's a lot on his plate, and we're going to be talking about that right now. By the way, if you're just tuning in, my name is Tiffany Bacon. I'm your host. I forgot to tell you that, you know, just sliding on up in here, getting to the nitty gritty. But please give us a call if you have a question about what is going on, and to find out more information about what's going on, give us a call, 215-263-1039. Or if you just have a comment about some of the issues we're talking about, and we are going to cover those big buzzwords that we've been hearing in the news, 215-263-1039. I will start there. So, lady, President Obama, he's going through a lot right now.
Well, you know, there's a saying, heavy lies the head who wears the crown. Mm-hmm. And he's probably the embodiment of that right now, mm-hmm. because there's so much going on. Both, you have the midterm elections that are coming up November 4th. If you're here in Pennsylvania, the last day to register to vote was October 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Most of Congress is up for reelection. And, you know, if you look at some of the stuff that Congress has not done, you're kind of glad about that because it gives people a chance to vote them out. But mm-hmm. That's the good news. The bad news is midterm elections are traditionally low turnout elections.
Which is why we end up in a mess.
Yes, because mm-hmm. in incumbents like low turnout because it favors them. It means that their chances of being, you know, their chances of being given the boot mm-hmm. go down because the people who would normally vote them out, like, say, the folks that show up at presidential elections, most of those folks don't come to the midterm.
Now, before we get too deep, for the listening audience, I know this is first thing in the morning, and sometimes you might be like, oh, I don't really want to talk about politics right now, but mm-hmm. this is beyond important, beyond the whole our forefathers fought and died and some of our listeners fought hard for us to have the right to vote, for things to be equal and things like that. But really, why should everybody listen to this, and why should everybody participate in the midterm elections? Like, why is that so important?
Well, I think that what people don't realize is that while, you know, voting for president is important and who the president is important, it's not nearly as important as who Congress is or even who your local elected officials are. In Pennsylvania, for example, we have a gubernatorial race coming up. And what the folks in Congress do and what the folks on the local level do are a lot more directly connected to you as a citizen. What they do is going to have more of an impact on you right away than anything that could happen in the White House. So that's why it's important for folks to pay attention when it comes time for the midterm elections, because what you're voting on here are the people who are going to determine what your air quality looks like, what your food quality looks like, how your kids are educated, you know, how much money goes toward their education. These are the people who basically are where the rubber meets the road for you as a citizen, which is why, you know, midterm elections are probably some of the most important. And yet they're the one part of the reality show we don't watch nearly enough, which is the American political process that tends to get ignored.
Okay, so what do you think has to happen? What do people have to hear to change that? Because, I mean, there's, like we said, there's so much going on. We are going to cover these buzzwords that we're hearing in the news like every single day. But, like, what is it that has to happen to make people say, no, I need to get to the polls for the midterms?
To be honest, the fact that we're talking again about sending young men and women into the Middle East to possibly fight in Iraq again, that should bring people to the polls. The fact that we have, I mean, particularly here in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia especially, the fact that we have a school district where the unelected board that was put in place in 2001 decided on Monday that they were going to cancel the contract for the district's teachers. And we had no, and we as a city had no say so in whether or not the school district made that decision. That should get you to the polls, because that directly affects your kids.
Absolutely. And when you say they canceled the contract, what exactly does that mean? And what is happening with our teachers?
This has kind of been the big story, at least here locally. Under Act 46, the law that created the School Reform Commission for the City of Philadelphia, School District of Philadelphia, there's a little poison pill that everybody kind of forgets is there that says that if the district is, if the folks on the SRC perceive the district to be in distress, they can do things like cancel contracts. Contracts that they had negotiated, they can cancel them, you know, in the name of finding savings for the district. On Monday, that's what the School Reform Commission decided to do. They had been negotiating with the teachers since the teachers' contract expired in 2010. It's 2010. And they had been negotiating with the teachers for, like, almost 2 years. Everybody couldn't get on the same page. So the district, which had been threatening to not open on time the past couple of years due to a lack of money, canceled the teachers' contracts to change their health insurance payments. So now, starting December 15th, teachers will have to pay anywhere from $21 to $71 a paycheck for their health insurance. They're also going to have to, Health and Welfare Fund, from which the teachers union paid the benefits of retired teachers, the district has stopped making contributions to that. So that fund is probably going to be disbanded on some level. And right now, the teachers are basically not working under a negotiated contract, which is what they were doing before. They're working under rules that have been imposed upon them, which is why you've had parents protesting in front of Governor Corbett's office.
Right, right, right. And teacher and students, sides, too.
Yes, and you had students walk out, and you've got both sides headed to Commonwealth Court. The teachers to say, no, you can't do this. And the school district to try and get permission to do this, permission that the state Supreme Court wouldn't grant them, by the way, for something they've already done.
Right.
So if that's not enough of a motivator, at least locally, for people to head to the polls on November 4th, I don't know what to tell you.
All right. So with that said, let me put this out to you, my listening audience, and you guys are so wonderful because the show is nothing without you. What are your thoughts about all this that's going on? Are you keeping up with it? Or are you just like, ugh, I have too much going on in my personal life. I just can't. I mean, I'm trying to keep up with my own bills, blah, 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 blah. What is your approach to this? What is your attitude about this? What are you doing about it? Are you staying on top of the news and trying to be proactive about the things going on and how they could and will affect you personally and your family? Or are you just kind of letting it wash over as you go on about your regular day? You can remain anonymous, and trust me, there's no judgment here, but we just really want to know where you are on this subject. I bring Denise on because it's so important to talk about, but I need to know your barometer. Where are you? Are you active in doing something about this, in listening to the information, in taking it in and making changes where necessary in your life? Or does it just go in one ear and out the other? Give us a call. 215-263-1039. Denise, what is the biggest challenge for you? Because, you know, you sleep, eat, and breathe this. So this is second nature to you. I totally get that. Politics, not second nature to your girl here and to a lot of other people. But, you know, many folks know the importance, so you stay abreast as much as possible. But what is your biggest frustration when talking to anyone about, quote unquote, what is going on?
Well, I think my biggest frustration with some of the stuff that's going on right now is that the information for some of this stuff that's out there, I have issues when, I mean, if someone doesn't know something and they ask and they ask and they can't seem to get any information, that doesn't frustrate me as much as when people go out and make the conscious effort to give the wrong information and scare the crap out of people.
Right,
That makes me nuts, because there are a lot of things that we really don't need to do that with, because they're scary enough if you hear what's actually going on. Mm-hmm. You don't need to make things up.
And one of which is Ebola.
Yeah, that was exactly the one I was thinking about.
All right, let's get to the nitty gritty on this very scary disease. What is the deal with Ebola, and how worried should we be?
Well, I think that you should only be worried if you plan on taking a trip to Western Africa sometime in the next 3 to 6 months, and you plan on going into an Ebola ward and giving everybody a hug. Ebola is a hemorrhagic fever, which means that it manifests itself through basically you're hemorrhaging. You're hemorrhaging blood. Blood vessels are bursting at different things. And it can only be transmitted through close contact with the bodily fluids of the person who has the disease. You cannot get it in the air. You cannot you know, have a sandwich with Ebola on it.
Mm.
You cannot, I mean, you have to, I mean, Ebola is one of those viruses that there's only specific ways that you can get it.
Okay.
And there have been exactly 3 cases in the United States, all of which with people who have come from Western Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Three of the people who have come, you know, into America with Ebola were mm-hmm. missionaries or doctors working in Western Africa, working, you know, with the people who have had, who are dealing with this disease a lot more directly than we are.
Mm-hmm.
And they were brought home and they were treated. There's a cameraman for NBC News that got Ebola and he's being treated.
Mm-hmm.
There was a doctor who was the first Ebola case mm-hmm. that was brought into the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And he was treated in Atlanta at the Centers for Disease Control. Also, a missionary that was working with him was brought in.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why everyone seems to be losing their minds right now
mm-hmm.
is that a man from Liberia, his name was Thomas Duncan, I believe.
Yes.
He was brought, he came to America to be with family in Texas. He was here to marry his fiance and help her raise their child.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into what Dallas, Texas hospital, you know, complaining of fever and stomach ache and some of the other symptoms of Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent him home with a temperature of 103, which I'm like, what kind of hospital does this?
Mm-hmm.
But even after he told them that he had a temperature and that he had just come from Western Africa, they mm-hmm. sent him home, where they found out when he came back that he did indeed have Ebola. And by the time they start to treat it,
mm-hmm.
he was pretty much halfway gone. Because the reason why the folks that came here, like the NBC cameramen and the mm-hmm. doctors and stuff, the reason why their cases are probably going to end up a lot more positively than Thomas Duncan's is that the drugs that have been found to at least be able to alleviate some of the problems with this disease were mm-hmm. administered to them a lot earlier than they were for Mr. Duncan. By the time they actually gave him the experimental drug that they have been using,
mm-hmm.
Something called ZMapp,
yeah.
that has been used with some of the other cases, by the time they gave it to Mr. Duncan, he had already started to experience system failure. His
okay.
organs were shutting down.
Okay,
so
because, you know, the word on the street is, because that's the brother, he did not get the medicine. That's the word on that's the street information. By the way, I see we have a couple people on the line. I'm going to get your call in just 1 second. Please don't hang up. That's the word on the street. How accurate is that?
Unless a hospital or a medical system wants to pay a whole lot of money to the family of Thomas Duncan, I don't believe that's what happened.
Mm.
I think it now. Would it be safe to say that the folks at this hospital may not have, you know, thought this all the way through? And do I have problems with someone being sent home from a hospital with a temperature of 103?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't think that it was necessarily intentional.
Okay.
I think it was just a failure of people knowing what they're looking at. And let's be honest here. Until you actually started to hear about people from America contracting this disease and coming home and being treated, there weren't, I mean, if you're a doctor in, say at Temple University Hospital,
mm-hmm.
the chances of you running into a case
Ebola.
Of Ebola are somewhere between slim and real slim. You're
right.
really not going to know what you're looking at right. unless you take the time to, unless you deal with a lot of people
mm-hmm.
who are coming from that region of the world, and you think, I better read up on this, right? Better, you know all I can about it.
Okay, so I want to pause you right there. We have a caller on the line, and I am asking you, the listening audience, to call in with your comments about what we're discussing. We're talking about the hot button topics, what we're hearing on the news all the time. We're going in depth about him. If you have questions about him or comments about these stories, give us a call. Also, I want to know, what is your take or your approach on politics in general? Are you letting the information that that comes across your news stories, TV or radio, go in one ear and out the other? Or are you taking heed, making adjustments where necessary, preparing to go vote, or looking more into the information? What is your process? What are you doing? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Let's go to Marcia calling in from Norristown on line two. Marcia, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm breathing on schedule. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Awesome. What's your comment or question?
That I'm interested in the politics. I find that a lot of these young people, they don't vote. They only go and vote in the presidential election. But the midterm one is the most important, you know, because they're the people that govern your money, your taxes, and everything, and the governor. So I think that is the one important, and they should get one vote. But a lot of young people, you know, they just don't be interested. Some say they don't even listen to the news. So they don't even know what is going on.
Right.
And then when things happen, then they start to complain, and this body didn't do that, and the next person didn't do that. But if you're not concerned, how you're going to get things right?
Right. Denise, do you have a follow up response to what she's saying, to what Marcia is saying?
I couldn't really hear it. It's kind of low.
Okay. Yeah, she was specifically talking about younger people and how they don't pay attention. They're not really active and involved, and in some cases don't listen to the news.
And that's a shame, because they're the ones that are the most directly affected by it. And we're going to have to figure out a different way to talk to young people to get them involved consistently.
Yeah.
They vote in presidential elections. They don't necessarily come to the midterms. Now, the Rock the Vote organization, which deals mainly with young people, has a video of Little John that he's changed his song, Turn Down for What?
Yeah.
To a song called Turn Out for What, and it's about voting and why it's important to vote. And you know, while getting my political consciousness from Little John just doesn't, you know, kind of connect with me, but it might connect with younger people, because these are the folks that go out on Friday and Saturday nights and turn down. So maybe, you know,
actually, they turn up, but
them about it. You know, it might get them to the polls, but we have to figure out a way to get young people to understand that their participation is needed every year, not just every 4 years.
Absolutely. And Marcia, thank you so much for your comment. I appreciate you listening to us this morning.
And just one more thing. I am very concerned about the Secret Service at the White House. I think that is very intentional there, because if it was another person in the White House, that would have not happened. And I think that is intentional.
Well, we hopefully, if we have enough time, we're going to touch on that. I also want us to touch on the ISIS crisis and get into that in a few minutes. All right. Thank you so much, Marcia. We appreciate you.
Thank you, bye.
All right, now, bye-bye. Hey, listen, Matt, I know you're on the line. I want to hear your comment about health insurance, so don't hang up. Also, if you're calling us right now, hold on the line. We're going to take a quick break. If you're not yet in the queue, give us a call. We're talking about politics, the hot-button topics, things you're hearing on the news all the time. We're trying to get in-depth about them as much as possible, clear up some rumors, some street myths, so to speak. But we want to know from you, how are you approaching this whole political thing, all that's going on. Is everything you're hearing just going in one ear and out the other, and it's not affecting your life or making you want to do make any changes in your life? Or is it sitting in? Are you looking for more information and ways to make adjustments in your life, whether it's to vote or protest or whatever? How are you handling the political information you receive on a daily basis on the news? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Stay with us. More conversation continues after this.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station. Now back to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're in the second half of today's edition of Praise in the City. We're talking politics and hot button news topics. How do you respond to all of that? Does it just wash over your head? Does it go in one ear, out the other, and then you go on with your day? Or does it sink in and you're like, I need to do something. I need to make sure that I vote. I need to look up Ebola. Let me see. Should I really get worried? How do you respond to this political information you receive daily on the news? Give us a call. 215-263-1039. Friend to the show, Denise Clay, is joining us via the telephone. We're going to jump back into our phone conversations because some people have called in and they've been waiting patiently. So I want to get to them. Also, if you have not called in, we are taking your calls. So give us a ring before it's too late. 215-263-1039. Let's go to Matt calling in on line 3 from the Philadelphia area. Matt, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Awesome. So what's your comment about politics? Does it just wash over you your head, or do you actually take it in?
No, I take it in. I keep up with all the pretty much the main topics, everything you hear in the local or the news media. But what I wanted to say was, first, I don't think $21 to $71 per paycheck, if you're getting paid biweekly, is really that much for health insurance. I mean, my wife and I, we pay $500 a month, and that's with a $10,000 deductible. So I don't think that's really unreasonable for asking a teacher to pay that, one. And two, I spent 8 years in the United States Army. I spent a year in the Middle East. And ultimately, you cannot stop ISIS unless you put boots on the ground. It's just never going to work. The only way to stop them is with men with rifles. Airplanes won't do it. Helicopters won't do it. Okay. There's just no two ways about it.
Yeah, so we're pretty much, you're saying we're pretty much backed into a corner of having to go back over there just because of the nature of this ISIS thing.
Yeah, we don't really have a choice. And not only that, but we should never have left. I mean, if you look at Nazi Germany or World War II Japan, we've had a military base in both those countries for 75 years, ever since the war ended. Mm-hmm. The 1st Armored Division is still in Germany. I'm not sure which Navy base is still in Japan. Mm-hmm. We still have a base in South Korea. I mean, once you win a war, you leave troops behind. That's just the way you do it. Otherwise, you have a power vacuum of people that hate your country and then come back.
So
there is no there. You mean really? I would call that Obama's folly. He should never have left. When I was there, we were building permanent military installations at Baghdad International Airport. Mm-hmm. We were building military barracks. We had every intention of leaving a division of soldiers there. In fact, I think they were talking about taking the 1st Infantry Division out of Germany and putting them in Iraq. But, I mean, we should never have left. And now we have no choice but to go back.
Okay, so would you say, I mean, if you're at liberty to say, and Denise, if you have a question for him, I would say prepare that now. Would you say that you ran into ISIS activity? How much about this did you know when you were there?
So there was no ISIS. I was there at the second rotation. Okay. I was OIF-2. I spent a year there. There was no ISIS at that time. And at that time, they just started the de-Ba'athification of Iraq. So just like Nazi Germany, everybody had to be part of the Ba'athist Party. Just like in Nazi Germany, you had to be part of the Nazi Party. You didn't have a choice. You couldn't survive in that country without being part of that political party. So I will say that while I don't necessarily condemn anybody, and it was just poor planning, they should never have de-Ba'athified the entire Iraqi nation. That was the downfall. everybody was a terrible person. So when they debanified the country, that's when the economy fell to crap. Then the people turned on us, and you started having a lot of influence from Syria, from Iran, sending a lot of people in to help out Al-Qaeda and foreign insurgents to fight the American soldiers. That's when it, right around the second rotation is when it started getting bad.
Okay. Denise, do you have a question or a comment for our caller, Matt?
Well, actually, you have a lot of people that, first of all, I'll address the whole health insurance thing. I think that the reason why people are upset about the possibility of having to pay $21 to $71 a month for their health insurance is because teachers in Philadelphia don't make a whole lot.
How much do they make?
And a lot of that money that they do make is going into the classroom in the form of buying supplies for them to teach their kids. So that could be why the prospect of the health insurance thing is making people angry. And, right. And also, you have to take into consideration how this was done. This was not done as a negotiated settlement. This was the school district deciding that they were going to cancel the contract with no input from the teachers or from anyone else for that matter. This was done in an early morning meeting on Monday at 9:30 with very little public notice. So there weren't even the only people in the room really were members of the district staff and reporters. And I think that's why people are getting upset, because there was no input allowed from the public.
I'm not condoning the way it was done. I'm just simply saying that I don't think $21 to $71 per paycheck is really unreasonable for health insurance, one. And two, I make less than $50,000 a year, and I pay $500 a month for my wife and I. I'm just saying I don't think $21 a paycheck sounds really unreasonable for health insurance. The way it was done, I can't condone that. I don't really know enough about it to be completely honest with you. So I can't condone that. But I'm just simply saying I don't think $21 to $71 a month is really that unreasonable to pay for health insurance.
So I would also invite, while we still have some time, if you are a teacher in the Philadelphia School District, it would be great if you could call in just to chime in on your end of it, since it affects you directly. Give us a call as well, 215-263-1039, since we are touching on that local piece of the news, but it's a big local piece of the news. So if you are a Philadelphia school teacher, give us a call, 215-263-1039. And because we do have a couple other people on the line, Matt, I'm going to have to cut you there, not for any other reason but time. But thank you so much for shedding light on this. Thank you for your service to the country. And thank you for listening to the program this morning.
Thank you very much for having the opportunity to speak my mind. I appreciate it. You
not
have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Ibrahim calling in from Bristol, PA. Ibrahim, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, my name is Abraham.
Abraham. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Abraham, good morning. You're live on the air.
Thank you for having me. I have two concerns. The first one is more people always saying that Obama should stop flights coming in from the so-called hot zone, which is Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. But one thing that fit to realize is that there is no direct flights coming in from those countries. Originally, I'm from Liberia.
Uh-huh.
We had Delta flying directly from Atlanta and New York to Monrovia, but they're not flying there anymore. So you have to take Brussels to go into Belgium before you take a connecting flight over here. So everybody, even Donald Trump is on the social media, everybody blaming Obama and the government for not stopping the flights from West Africa, the hot zone. Please, everybody, please listen to me. There is no direct flight coming in from those countries. That's the first point I want to make. The second point is that more people saying, why is it Obama or the government sending troops to Africa? I mean, there is ties that the United States of America have with Africa. The Firestone tires that is on all these cars in America today driving the street, they don't even know where the rubber is coming from to manufacture those tires. The plantation, the rubber plantation, the largest rubber plantation in the world, now it's the second largest, is in Liberia. And there is no factory in there that manufactures tires. The raw material is taken from that country straight over here to manufacture these tires that is on the street here. So if everybody died today from over there, who's going to go on the plantation to tap those rubbers to have them made over here? Omega Tower, during the Cold War, America used that. Even the Rabat International Airport in Liberia was a major source of America during the Cold War. All these ties, people forget so soon. Some of us, we learn these things from our parents and our grandparents before getting to know that the ties that America have with Liberia. So I'm just pleading with people to just sit and think. Think twice. It could be anybody today that's going through such of crisis. Nobody knew that Ebola, nobody ever knew anything about Ebola from West Africa. It just came from the blue. Where did it come from? Nobody knows. It's a mystery today.
Okay, good points. Denise, do you have a response there?
It's interesting that he brought up all of the folks that are calling for us to basically shut down our borders to avoid Ebola. And this is kind of the embodiment of what I was telling you earlier about people making the conscious effort to spread misinformation. The gentleman is right. There are no direct flights. And also, again, there is a certain way that you have to come in contact with the Ebola virus. Now, unless you're going to go around exchanging bodily fluids with someone that you know has Ebola on the plane, chances are really good that you're not going to get it because it's not an airborne disease. And it's becoming a bit of fear-mongering, and that's never good because you have people, like in city council this past Thursday, the city council passed an ordinance mandating some sort of Ebola-related, catastrophe training. And I'm like, do we really need that in a city where we have other needs for the money you're about to put into this?
Well, let me ask you this, though, and Abraham, I want to thank you so much for your phone call. I am going to let you go at this point. I know we're getting close to the end of the program, but thank you so much for your comments, and thank you for the information. I didn't realize that the rubber from Firestone Tires actually came from Liberia. There was a lot of that information I didn't know.
There was a company there called Firestone, and it was owned by John Firestone from America. And there is 100 years contract signed with the government of Liberia within that company, Firestone. It's the second largest. It was the largest rubber plantation in the world, but now because of the war in Liberia, 16 years of civil war, now I think it's the second largest in the world.
Well, that's great information. Thank you so much, Abraham, and you have a wonderful day.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. Denise, first, it's very interesting to hear the various viewpoints, and it's been great to hear it. Lots of information that I know I didn't know. But as far as the Ebola situation, don't you think it's important to have a plan of action, especially since what happened in Dallas happened in Dallas? They were not prepared. They were not thinking about it, like you said. And then what then happens if he did come in contact? And when we say bodily fluids, what I've learned, especially from the TV show The Doctors, I was listening recently, like within the last few days, and they were discussing it. Now, these are doctors, and they were discussing it, and they were saying, you know, the bodily fluids include sweat and saliva, which, of course, makes it more frightening and even to some degree more threatening than HIV, because you only have four bodily fluids that you can contract HIV from. And it really is like you really have to have direct contact with blood, semen, vaginal fluid, or breast milk, and that's it. But to add saliva and sweat, that's a different tier, because if you're someplace in a close quarter like a plane and the person is perspiring and your arm is next to them, especially in a plane, because the seats are so close together, isn't that a concern that we should be aware of?
Well, it's a concern, but the thing is, it's such a remote concern that, yes, be prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be prepared. I'm not saying that emergency preparedness is not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I am saying is that some of the stuff that you're hearing, like basically folks running around saying Ebola is around the corner, that's
right.
You know, that's fear mongering. And we have to find that balance between prudent emergency preparedness,
mm-hmm.
and scaring the crap out of people unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having a little trouble finding that balance right now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I just saw a Twitter chat that the great news website All Digitocracy did,
mm-hmm.
A couple of nights ago. If you go to alldigitocracy.com, you can see it. It was a group of reporters, including a scientist and a doctor,
mm-hmm.
that were talking about how Ebola is being reported on, what the facts are, what you need to know,
mm-hmm.
and how things are done from an ethical perspective.
Okay.
And, you know, for us to have those kinds of things, okay, that makes sense. That's great. That's preparedness. But some of the reporting, And I have to say that my tribe in the Fourth Estate, mm-hmm. has not always been, you know, at its best here.
Right.
Some of the reporting has made it so you have people literally thinking that Ebola is around the corner. Like a friend of mine who is in Southwest Philadelphia that works with the African community,
mm-hmm.
Started a reading program.
Mm-hmm.
And
wait, real quick, before you get into the story, I got the hand signal that we are out of time, Denise. So can you give me like 10 seconds with the wrap up of that story?
Okay. Well, she started the reading program, but because of fears of the Ebola virus and the fact that she works with the African community, you have people who dropped out of her reading program.
Wow.
Who said, until you get this Ebola under control, you know, we're not going to do it. Now, if there's been a case of Ebola in Philadelphia, somebody needs to tell me that. But I don't think there has been. So
we
really need to, you know, deal with this responsibly. Otherwise, it's going to be a panic.
Yeah, and that is the truth. Thank you, Denise, so much for always shedding light and giving us more information on what's happening on the political scene. Unfortunately, we ran out of time, didn't get to tackle ISIS, but hopefully we will in a future program. So thank you so much for participating, lady.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all.
All right. Much love going to my offsite producer, Donovan West, and my in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Please stick around. Marriage Beyond the Vows is next. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.